My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The sponsor of Grant and Danny is the law firm Condori and Murat. They'll guide you and your family in the right direction, help you draft a will, set up a trust, and even create a healthcare power of attorney if need be. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. You'll get a discount. kmlawyers.com. Welcome into our Richmond audience on AM 910 FM 105.1. We've been live over the last hour on 106.7 The Fan. You can watch our show wherever you are on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page or stream our show wherever you're at via the always free Odyssey app. Been talking about the Commanders preseason opener and training camp getting back underway today. They had a 2 o'clock practice. We'll let you hear from Dan Quinn a little bit later in the show. All of our camp coverage on The Fan is presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation, paulhenryswindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. I wanted to spin around the NFL, though. Take a look at how some of the kids in the National Football League fared under center from this rookie class. We began the show talking about Jaden Daniels. Why not lead locally? 3 throws, the 1 deep shot, 2 completions. 1 was on a wide receiver screen. Had a rushing touchdown as well, 3 yards around edge. Can't ask for a whole lot more efficiency thanks to the big-time throw, a very exciting performance.
Yeah, you score a touchdown in your opening drive, and you're only going to get 1 drive, so that's a day at the office, right? What better way to start it off?
To Chicago we go, where Bears fans are having a hard time tempering expectations after their first look at Caleb Williams. He went 4 of 7 for 95 yards in his debut in the preseason. He also had a 13-yard scramble. If you watched episode 1 of Hard Knocks, they were teaching him and the other quarterbacks how to slide by using a slip and slide, which my kids were using this weekend in Elliott's backyard.
Yeah, you kids are just like Caleb Williams.
Very similar.
Right?
Truman, yeah. Reagan, Caleb Williams, they all are really good at slip and slide. Mm-hmm. But Caleb Williams did the perfect baseball slide. The slip and slide worked for now. 13 yards, got down, picked up a first down, moved the chains. He looked really good. Did you see the throw he made? He was rolling out to his right. Across his body, kind of leaps off 1 foot to make a throw, dart about 25 yards downfield. It was the kind of arm talent where there's a handful of guys in the league that can do that.
Yeah, and everyone else, you'd try to coach it out of them. You know what I mean? But we talked about this a bunch with Williams. He has been the number one guy, a la Trevor Lawrence, for so many years. Right, we're just all sitting there looking at our watch, waiting for the number one overall pick to happen so that he can finally be that guy and get his coronation ceremony. So all that's happened is he's been number one for so long that people started to look for ways to knock him, and we zoom in on certain behaviors or different patterns or otherwise. Forget about all that. That guy should have gone number one. He is unbelievably talented. This is a you-don't-find-this-skill-set-anywhere type player, and he's got it.
There was another play where he was in the pocket. He was climbing, there was bodies around him, he was getting grabbed, and he kind of shovel past the football, Mahomes style, just kind of tossing it underhand forward, like the old Brett Favre plays, mm-hmm. And it's just one of those, like, the game moves a little slower for him. You know what I mean? I just think if you're a Bears fan, you come out of that game after trying to convince yourself Mitchell Trubisky was the guy, spending way too long pretending Justin Fields might be the guy. You're going to have a hard time not being pretty giddy about Caleb Williams. The difference between him and Daniels was just that you saw more of him.
Yep.
I mean, he made one throw, I'd say, that very few guys in the league make. I don't know that we saw that from Jaden. Like, he made a perfect throw. There's nobody in the league that on that toss maybe makes the throw as well. But most guys in the NFL on a go route where your receiver has a step or two, you know, they can make the throw he makes, maybe not consistently. But that Caleb Williams throw on the roll was pretty special. So far, so good for him. Why don't we go to J.J. McCarthy of the Minnesota Vikings? Stay in that same division. They played a home game on, would it have been Saturday afternoon that I was watching, after the Washington game? McCarthy and the Vikings moved the football consistently. Didn't it seem like Kevin O'Connell opened up his playbook a little bit more than a lot of teams? Like, they were throwing it downfield.
It's always so hard to tell.
Yeah.
Because you just don't know who's doing what. You don't know if the play was designed for 3 yards, but, well, the Raiders are doing something so basic that I had to take this 25-yard, you know, deep cross. But it did look that way to the naked eye.
This is what I got. Like, again, I don't know anything. I wasn't in on any of the meetings. I think you guys probably know that. Watching that game, it felt to me like the Raiders were running a very vanilla base, like cover two type defense. The Vikings were picking them apart with some normal September-October concepts. Daggers and some beaters against when they knew they were getting zone and just some stuff where McCarthy had options. Now, that's the end of the explaining it away. J.J. McCarthy looked really impressive.
Looked really good.
He had an interception, which all the J.J. McCarthy haters, I saw that play sent around more than anything else this weekend about J.J. McCarthy. You take that throw out, which his guy wasn't open, he made a bad throw, play gets undercut. He was 11 of 16 for 190 and 2 touchdowns with some really nice throws down the field. It was a great start to his preseason.
I thought so, too. It just looked right. It looked natural. It looked like a guy that had command. It looked like somebody that, you know, knew where the ball was supposed to go, delivered on time, was accurate. He threw those. I never know how to describe this throw. I'm sure the guys in the industry, in the NFL, have a term for it, where you got to put some oomph on it, but you also need some touch. It's that over one group but under the next group type throws. He has that, which I think is really, really hard to quantify and hard to master. You know it when you see it. Some of the great passers in the league. I'm not putting him there yet. It's a preseason game.
It's like when they say they got to layer it. You know, it's over the zoning linebacker's fingertips, but yet your guy catches it on the move on the next level.
Yeah, it's got to be firm, but with touch. Like, do that. Try easy. It's one of those really impossible things to quantify and explain unless you see someone doing it. He had a couple of those throws where you go, that's big-time stuff right there. That, again, early preseason, who knows? I've seen some great preseason. I mean, Kenny Pickett was like a million for a million with 11,000 touchdowns. And then his first real game, he, you know, went to the bathroom, down his leg, and is on a different team now.
Well, Fields with the Bears was always incredible in the preseason.
Sure, yeah.
Like, his numbers are Hall of Fame level preseason performer. They should have a preseason Hall of Fame, by the way, for guys like Sutton McCullough and, you know, Darnarian McCants and Marco Mitchell.
Marcus White.
Marcus Mason.
Come up the edge.
Exactly. There really should be an August Hall of Fame. But I don't want to diminish anything because same with Jaden Daniels. Like, it's the first time we get to see these guys, and they're going to go out and make the throws and make the plays or they're not. And McCarthy, to his credit, more often than not, did.
He looked good.
Now, I've also seen where people are saying that J.J. McCarthy maybe is going to start for the Vikings. I didn't get that sense for two reasons. One, I thought Sam Darnold did some good things when he was out there. His line was just 4 of 8 for 59 yards, but he made a couple of really, really pretty throws. By all accounts, he's having a pretty good camp as well. But also, if J.J. McCarthy was in the conversation to start for the Vikings, would they have had him out there for like 30 plays, 17 or 18 passes, whatever it was, that they called for him? I doubt it. Like, look at the difference. Washington has not named Jaden Daniels the starter. They're doing this weird charade where they pretend like he might not start. But you know how you treat your starter? You get him in there for a drive and you get him out. With McCarthy, I turned on the game in like the early first quarter, and he was coming in. And then in the third quarter, he was still in the game. To me, that does not suggest, certainly doesn't scream, chance to start.
So I had been on, McCarthy's going to end up starting. I'd been on that train. Because to me, the whole point of him is that he's closer to a finished product. He's the leader of the national championship team, and he's going to walk out there and execute from day one. That hurt my case. The fact that he's into the game deep into the third quarter,
whatever it was. Do you think he is going to execute? Because you couldn't stand him in the pre-draft process.
Well, I said I couldn't draft him too. That was my whole point. Is when the debate was, if there was a debate.
You always thought he stunk, I thought.
No, I couldn't do it too. My whole point was I couldn't do it that high. If his college coach didn't trust him to throw it 30 times, how can I? That was kind of my big thing. I could draft him in the middle part of the first round, a little bit earlier than maybe I would have done it. But
I was going to say, they took him in the top 10.
Yeah, it's a little bit earlier than me, but I understand. It's quarterback. It's kind of the rules go out the window. So to me, he's like, this is who he is a college veteran. A good fit for, took the words out of my mouth. He's a good fit there. That's kind of, I've always thought he was going to start. The fact that he played as much as he did made me scratch my head a bit.
Yeah, you look at the box score, and for Darnold to be in and out that fast also tells me something a little. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe he changed the eye line, and now we'll see him go with the starters in the second game and play a quarter or something. And if he is really good against a starting defense,
maybe he forces your hand a little bit.
Yeah, maybe now it's a conversation, and perhaps that's kind of been the reaction in Minnesota. Their early season schedule's crazy, though. I don't know if you've looked at their schedule. They play the Giants in week one, very winnable. Then they've got the 49ers, Texans, Packers, Jets, Lions, Rams. Like, dude, they could be 2-5.
Real easy.
I'd rather throw Sam Darnold to those Wolves and then go to McCarthy on the back end of that stretch, maybe. But we'll see what Kevin O'Connell decides to do. The other game, I don't know if there was as much viewing of this locally. It was last night. Denver played Indianapolis, and we saw a lot of Bo Nix. So similarly, there's this competition in Denver where he did not start, and is not going to start in all their preseason games. They haven't named him the starter, I guess I should say. Bo Nix looked sharp, man. I went back last night and watched the game. He was 15 of 21 for a buck 25 and a touchdown. And again, this is where now I'm going to say all these guys are not going to be great. So it tells you that there's some preseason stuff mm-hmm. happening here. There's some defenses playing vanilla. You're not getting a whole lot of what you're going to get in September. But if you're a Broncos fan, you got to like what you saw. He looked athletic. They moved the pocket around for him. He made some throws on the run. He made, you know, short and intermediate throws pretty accurately. I like what Bo Nix did in his first game. He looked like a Sean Payton, kind of that breezy in. Like,
yeah.
I don't need you to have the strongest arm, but let's make all the throws in the goal, you know, in the line of scrimmage to the 12-yard area.
So here's how I've always felt about Bo Nix. It's very easy to watch and go, yeah, but it doesn't do, and then you fill in three or four things. But nobody ever does what it seems like Denver had in their mind. Yeah, but he does do this. If you need somebody to throw the ball close to the line of scrimmage and complete close to 80% of his passes, which is what he did last year, by the way. I said that number again. Now, he's been in college for 17,000 years, but he completed close to 80% of his passes. Now, it's all short, quick, intermediate throws. If I have an offense that wants to do that, by God, that's a pretty good fit. So it always kind of made sense to me that you'd have this sort of Peyton-Bo Nix marriage where, yeah, I know he's probably not great at throwing the ball over the top, but there was a guy in New Orleans who's a Hall of Famer who wasn't great at throwing it over the top, who beat you with his mind and elite feet and accuracy and moving around. Again, I'm not telling you Bo Nix is Drew Brees. There's one of Drew Brees. That's a Hall of Famer. That guy's incredible. But Bo Nix is of that ilk. I always saw that as kind of a good landing spot for him.
Michael Penix made his Falcons debut. Kirk Cousins not expected to play early this preseason, coming back from the Achilles. So Penix actually started. 9 of 16 for 104 yards. He made one awesome throw down the field, near sideline, if you were watching on TV, kind of coming toward the TV screen. A really, really pretty touch throw. He also had a beautiful ball placement throw in the middle of the field. There was like a defender draped over a big-bodied tight end, and he kind of threw him open away from the defender. Those were the two throws that really impressed me of his outing. But I go on to say that this rookie class, through 1 week,
showed really well.
There weren't any duds. The one guy that doesn't really fit into the picture is Drake May. Not because he did anything wrong, but he wasn't allowed to do anything. And that's what's comical. We were talking about McCarthy. He's not supposed to start, right? You're not hearing anything other than Jacoby Brissett's going to be the starter for the Patriots. And yet they still didn't play Drake May. Brissett threw three passes. They got him out of there. They put Drake May in. I think it was six plays, three throws, a couple of screens to running backs, including our guy, Antonio Gibson, for a first down. And then his night was over. So one of these is not like the other. You know, Daniels, obvious starter, didn't play much. Same with Caleb Williams. But the other guys that are either competing or backups, they played a ton in this game. They were throwing 15 to 20 passes.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get it from the Patriots.
I don't understand anything they're really doing. But I also don't know, like, they're going to get the benefit of the doubt on a lot of things because it's New England and they've done everything better than everybody for a long time. But all those people are gone. Brady is gone. Belichick is gone. You still have Kraft, but they hired a head coach who they didn't really have an interviewing process at all. And sometimes that happens, right? But when's the last time you can remember a position coach with basically no experience as a coordinator or as a head coach calling plays or anything, just immediately slid into the head coaching role? I'm thinking of like Jeff Saturday or Antonio Pierce, but at least that's in the interim capacity. Maybe Gerard Mayo is going to be great. There have been a couple of quirky little things where they're not operating the same as everyone else that seem really weird to me. And you look back and you go, all right, so they've got a first-time coach who's never really been a coordinator, who lived in Bill's shadow, who's a position player who's close with the owner. It just doesn't feel like a great situation to me. They had an interim GM in Elliott Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
They were looking for other GMs. They settled on him and just promoted him after a lengthy search that didn't net anything else. I think they could be going into a not-so-great downturn.
Which would be great. They're entitled to about 100 years of failure after all the success they had for 20-plus seasons. Now, the thing that I don't get, and you touched on this, but I want to double down. Let's say you view Drake May as a project. That's your evaluation. You took him third overall. No problem. Well, this is project time right now, this minute.
They treated him like he's in a starting competition.
Yeah, unless you're so concerned. Like, the only way I could see it is if you're so concerned about his surroundings, like you think your line stinks and they have nobody around him, which they don't, by the way. It's the worst roster in the league, in my opinion, that you can't afford to throw him out there for too long. I just kind of don't get that. Right? Like, if he's not going to be a starter right away, then this is soak it up time. This is sponge time. This is all of the reps and all of the different the valuable experiences that you're depriving him of by making sure that that Bailey Zappe gets 20 more shots at it.
All right, speaking of things that you don't really understand, we got to name Jaden the starter in the next day or two, right? Like, we can do that now. Yeah?
It's fine by me.
Does it matter at all? Do you care at all at this point? Is it one of those things where you're going, Dan, come on, buddy. They started him in the game. He said he's going to be first on the unofficial depth chart. Didn't really mean anything. He's going to start the first preseason game unofficially,
mm-hmm.
He said. Okay, when are we doing this? Like, is it time to stop pretending? You told us you didn't want to pretend. You didn't want to keep any secrets. You're kind of trying to keep your secret now. You got to do it. What is left for him to prove or do? Like, what are we doing here? They're not going to start Mariota this week and pretend like it's a competition. So maybe, I guess, they go out this weekend in Miami. They have their joint practices. They play Daniels for a quarter. And then afterwards, they say he earned it. He's the guy. Is that the timeline?
If I had to guess, that's what they're doing. Because they're insisting on doing this sort of charade or,
tomfoolery.
Yeah, this weird magic trick where we can all see where the guy hit the card. You know what I mean? Like, we all know where it's going. We all get it.
I like that. He thinks he's doing a magic trick. This fake magician I'm talking about.
Yeah, he's doing misdirection. But wait, see the card.
I got a quarter in my ear, but he's like talking to us. But you can see the quarter like in his palm, like stuck to his palm.
He's like, I'm gonna cut the woman in half, and you can actually see the escaped compartment where the woman's crawling out of there. You know, like we see it, dude. Like, come on.
We know what you're doing, bro.
But it's this weird little quirky thing that they just won't give in on. And I don't know if it's a Dan Quinn cultural thing or otherwise, but everybody knows, but nobody can say. It's odd to me.
Felt good to be watching some football all weekend, though.
Yeah.
Even though it was not particularly great football at times, and it was a lot of guys I've never heard of at other times. You know who played a lot, like an NFL game's worth of a lot? Trey Lance. For the Cowboys yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch any of that?
I saw a little bit of Trey Lance.
Trey Lance didn't look terrible. That doesn't mean anything.
Okay.
Because none of these games or results mean anything. But he wasn't Stetson Bennett, so that he had that going for him. Stetson Bennett threw four picks yesterday.
That was tough.
He played an entire game. Sean McVay's preseason philosophy is just hilarious to me. Are you going to play for us this year? Stand over there. Everyone else, go play 60 minutes of football. That's kind of what he does now.
It's not even exaggeration. Like, that's pretty much what they do. If we think you're going to contribute for us, you warm up before the game.
Yeah.
You change into street clothes. You have to have a bucket hat, and you have to have fun on the sideline.
Stetson Bennett, 24 of 38 for 224, with a game-winning touchdown in a 13-12 game, and four interceptions. And they were some ugly, gross, nasty, didn't see you, didn't know you were there. Oh, you're not on my team. Ow, now, brown cow interceptions. I mean, they were disgusting.
How great was Sean McVay mic'd up throughout that whole game, or most of that game yesterday?
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
Where is that for us, by the way?
Oh, I wish.
Where is that on my broadcast where we've got Dan Quinn with his backwards hat talking about Top Gun? I'm watching the Vikings game with the great Paul Allen on the call. First down, Vikings! A laser from Kirk to Justin Jefferson! He's JJ! Paul Allen, by the way, that was a silly impression. None of you are respecting it.
Sleeping.
You don't know. You don't know. Darius knows a little bit. There's like four people out there that are like, damn, GP's got a Paul
Grant
Allen.
Grant does a great Paul Allen.
My Paul Allen is on fire today. But anyway, Kevin O'Connell with the call. Laser from Kirk to Justin Jefferson. Anyway, I want to say this one more time. That is an incredible impression. This will not be the last time you hear that. I didn't know I had it. I'm just doing it now, and now
you've never workshopped it?
No, that's my best impression.
Now you know we need a Paul Allen cut.
That is my best impression I've ever done. That's what I want you to know.
Can you do a current highlight work? Because Kirk doesn't play there anymore.
let's see.
I have a Paul Allen cut, too. We can compare.
Okay, but what is the play?
It's the 45-yard pass, the touchdown pass from McCarthy to whatever that random receiver was.
He's J.J. McCarthy. Yeah, let's hear from Paul Allen on the Vikings radio network.
I think I'm going to keep. Oh, there we go.
Oh, here it
let's
is.
Go. Boom.
Got it.
Let's go.
That's not Paul Allen. That's just Justin Jefferson yelling. All right, so next time we'll hear from Paul Allen. I don't have a Justin Jefferson impression.
I was going to say.
What I was going to say is, and this is actually a good
segue.
Segue, yeah. Thank you. A segue, if you will. You wouldn't know it from that highlight because that was a lot to deal with. But Justin Jefferson was mic'd up for like an entire quarter.
Uh-huh.
It was awesome. He was so good. He's talking about formations and, oh, I think we got to go to this guy. Let's go deep here. It was great. And he's a superstar and everyone in Minnesota loves him. And you get to watch your guy mic'd up. And Kevin O'Connell at one point walks up to him and he's like, he doesn't know he's mic'd up. He's like, dude, why are you by yourself just talking? He's like, oh, I'm on the air right now. And Kevin's like, oh, okay. Yeah, I was like, you're never by yourself talking to yourself. But it was just guys kept coming up to him.
By yourself talking.
And one of the offensive coaches came up and he's like, we got to hold that block. Like, you're just hearing little guy, like little conversation.
Uh-huh.
But then McVay was doing the same thing. Do you have the clip when he was talking about the Cowboys coming out?
The fourth down play?
Yeah. He's like, we're going empty gun on fourth down here? What are we doing here, McCarthy? It was hilarious. And he's like, oh, boy. He's all excited. He was basically auditioning for Monday Night Football.
Yeah,
I think.
He was doing McVay almost doing like a John Gruden type bit, or like a little Tony Romo in it too. You know, where he's like,
exactly,
like, what are we doing here? Oh my God! Like, you know, hitching up his pants a little bit as he goes.
That was his. Hey, when I retire, come get me.
Yeah. By the way,
this was McVay on the mic yesterday.
Really on display, and really like the depth and the understanding. This is a big play for us right here. Motion into empty. Oh. Fourth and three, what the heck we got going here with Coach McCarthy? Big win by Corey Durden.
Oh, we got it.
Oh, don't let him escape this. Come on. Oh, I'll tell you what.
But he's sitting there giving you the play-by-play. He's like, ooh, the Cowboys motion into empty. His little, you know, macho man Randy McVay. Ooh, baby, they're going empty here. Preseason football, baby.
Yeah.
Let's do this thing.
More mic'd up. Less cut down to the field for player interviews where it's like, what's this like? It's great. Is it, how fun is it? It's really fun. Oof. Every day, one day at a time is a great day to be, have a day that's a day that's today for a day at a time today. What about tomorrow? Tomorrow's a great day too to have a great day. Back up to you guys. Cool. Thank you. That's neat. Mic them up.
Wide receiver drama for NFC powerhouses still. Nothing doing with Brandon Ayuk in San Francisco. CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jones angry at each other in Dallas. It's getting good. We're Grant and Danny on the Fan. That's next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media.
Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
One thing you missed in your week away on vacation, Danny, a lot of Brandon Ayuk content.
Yeah.
Around these parts and around the country.
Well, you know what's funny? It all comes full circle because we did a lot while you were out, too. I mean, because it's been a never-ending story, part seven.
It has. Last week was when all the real legitimate developments came, though, right? Mm-hmm. He's been doing his post a picture here, post a video there. Me and Jaden Daniels are twins, bros, though, here, you know, all that stuff. But my boy, Jaden, I'm going to play with you 3 weeks ago when you and I were like, yeah, I'm sure. Okay.
Okay, buddy.
Whatever you say, Brandon. It became... The Commanders actually were calling them, according to a report last week. Four teams were interested in trading for him. The Commanders have backed out on their own and are no longer in the mix. Two teams not only tried to trade for him, but had a deal in place with the 49ers or with the player himself. And they still have not been able to have these stars aligned. So basically what's happened, to catch everyone up to speed on even more reporting over the weekend, the four teams were the Commanders, who have supposedly gotten out of the sweepstakes on their own. Then there was the Steelers. The problem with the Steelers deal is that San Francisco does not like the compensation that much. San Francisco wants more back than the Steelers are willing to give up. But they have apparently struck a deal with Ayuk. I'm imagining it's close to $32 million a year, just because we know that's what New England offered him. Ayuk has gone back to the Niners and said, either do the deal that Pittsburgh gave me or trade me to Pittsburgh. That is the last report last night where we're at, where he's basically giving them the ultimatum of, I'm saying yes to the Pittsburgh deal. Now, San Francisco's saying no to that one, but he's saying, if you're not going to pay me that, that's where I want to be. Let's end this. Send me there. The other team was the Patriots. And New England, if you remember, Danny, offered, this is all reported, but offered Brandon Ayuk $32 million a year. That's like almost Justin Jefferson money.
Yeah.
He's JJ. Justin Jefferson. $32 million a year for Brandon Ayuk. He still didn't want to go there. I don't know what he has against New England. I have to imagine it's the quarterback situation.
The sheer dearth of talent and like the morbid near future, I would say. Like no chance of winning ever.
Yeah.
For a while.
Probably.
Maybe that's it.
Rookie quarterback. Yeah. I mean, unless you play with him in college, you're probably not that excited to go play with a rookie quarterback, mm-hmm. and Drake May wasn't at Arizona State like Jaden Daniels was. So he said no to New England, who apparently had a deal that the Niners liked more. And then the other team was Cleveland. And the Niners and the Browns agreed to a deal, supposedly. But that deal that would have involved Amari Cooper and I think a second and a fifth was the report, did not satisfy Brandon Ayuk because Ayuk does not want to play for the Browns. So the teams with the Niners are willing to strike a deal with based on the compensation they're getting back.
Mm-hmm.
New England and Cleveland. Ayuk does not want to play for Deshaun Watson in Cleveland. Bad situation, New England. I don't know if it's a cold weather thing. I have no idea. He is willing to play in Pittsburgh, though, but the Steelers don't have what the Niners want. He's willing to play in Washington, but it doesn't sound like Washington is willing to give up what it takes. All of that sounds complicated, but basically it's a love triangle where all three need to be appeased, and that is they have not been able to strike an accord.
You've gotten two out of three a couple different times, and it's been a different two each and every time. It is really complicated.
There's probably like a math algorithm
there. Is. Yeah.
Like, you know, like what are the chances that all three can connect at the same time? It's right. Like 6% or something?
Yeah, I mean, the hardest thing to do, I would say, is for a team willing to meet contract demands. That's self-selective, probably. 25 teams right off the bat would go, that's probably too rich. We don't want to do $31, $32 million per year, whatever, right? The handful that would then are saying, hey, we're going to spend that much money. We probably need to cool it on the draft compensation or whatever's going back to you in return, team that holds Brandon Ayuk's rights. So you could see how you could be at an impasse. It's one of the reasons I always thought that he would end up in San Francisco. Just after all this song and dance, whether they paid him or not, they still hold all the cards. If you'd like to get to free agency, he's got to go through San Francisco and play for a Super Bowl contender. If you'd like to end up with the payday that he wants, he's got to play, right? And trying to force his hand, it sounds like they got tired of the act, basically saying, we'll let you go through this whole exercise. It's like when you've got a tantruming toddler, I know these are grown men, but you've got a tantruming toddler and it's like, you know what? We'll let him burn himself out. Eventually, he's going to take a nap in the car on the way home.
Well, like, you're describing my night last night as I'm holding my son's door closed and he's trying to get out after he came out of his bedroom for the 11th time to get water.
Yeah.
It's the worst. And he's sobbing and calling daddy, and it's a terrible feeling. And I'm like, he's got to fall asleep soon. You know, and
at some point.
When he does, I'll just go in. I'll scoop him up. I'll put him in his bed. Everything will be fine.
Like, we're already out of the restaurant. We've already, you know, bailed on the evening. We're already, you know, the playground's not an answer. We're just going to let him burn his star out. Yeah. And eventually he'll come back.
So right now, Ayuk is crying at the door. And the Niners are holding the door closed, waiting for him to fall asleep.
Pretty much. Like, there's so little. Again, maybe it works, and I'll have to eat my words.
Well,
but
the momentum, like, 3 weeks ago, I'd say, was there's no way this guy's getting traded. He's just angry. The Niners are not listening to him. They're covering their ears and moving forward, getting ready for camp. Then the momentum, I'd say, all of last week, and certainly midway through the week, was Brandon Ayuk is getting traded. That is officially now a thing that's happening. And by the way, if Adam Peters was interested, and if Washington wanted to trade for him, it would have been hilarious because it would have happened while you were at the beach.
Yep.
And it would have kept the streak alive.
Indeed.
For whatever reason, Peters didn't know, I guess, that he could have done something funny for the radio show, and he opted not to trade for Brandon Ayuk.
He's like, oh, best thing for the football team.
Probably the smart, correct decision.
Unreal.
But we did miss out on a good bit, if I could say that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
With all respect to Mr. Peters, mm-hmm. very handsome general manager executive.
Good hair.
But we're now back to the momentum of you kind of punch through that wall of he's definitely getting traded, and now it feels like maybe he's not getting dealt. So what's your guess? Week one, is he on the field for the Niners? Is he a 49er not playing, or is he somewhere else because he's been dealt?
On the field for the 49ers. I don't have a ton of confidence in that because it's between the first two for me. What was the thing where you have to show up by a certain time in order to accrue the year, and he wants to let everyone know he's dissatisfied?
Still several weeks into the season before that's a
factor. So maybe that's the path, but I would say if push comes to shove, he's on the field week one.
I don't understand what he's so upset about also. I understand wanting to get paid on pro player, and I think he deserves to get a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
But the part of the offseason where you agitate and you try to get yours is kind of come and gone. It's not like he gets paid peanuts. I mean, this is a guy who got a fifth-year option picked up, meaning you get a decent enough raise. You're going to go out and put up numbers, and then you leave next year. I mean, he's acting like he hates it there. Like, he is miserable and wants nothing to do
with it. Yeah, like he's a fifth-round Freddy that's got no rights at all.
On a terrible team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're banging your body up against the wall for nothing when you have an excellent chance to win a Super Bowl this year. I'm a little bit surprised by just how over the top his effort to get out of there has been, but the drama continues in San Francisco. I'm going to say he's on a different team. Even though the momentum's going away from that right now, I'll say he gets traded and he's playing somewhere else. The other of the wide receivers in the news over the last several days being at odds with his team is CeeDee Lamb. And you would have loved this. You missed this one. So Jerry Jones was asked about him at the end of last week, said there was no urgency to get anything done.
What an amazing thing to say, by the way.
Hilarious.
Can you imagine?
First of all, the owner doing his weekly talk is very funny.
Yeah.
Let's start with that. Second, on what planet is that a good answer? No, we're fine. What are you talking about?
Well, to be honest with you, we don't give a damn whether he's here or not.
What? What are you doing?
How is that the answer? Like, clearly, CeeDee Lamb's going to be annoyed by that.
You might think.
Now, he did, meaning he is in Jerry Jones. He's like, hey, someone come talk to me today. I want to say something. And he got back on the mic pretty quickly, and he suggested that they do miss him and they like him. And I think the quote was, you're missed. So this is his mea culpa today.
Yeah.
Where he says, we do miss him. I'm just saying we don't feel like we urgently have to get something done. But CeeDee Lamb sounds like he's more angry with the Cowboys than he was a month ago after he took to Twitter to laugh at Jerry Jones saying there was no urgency to get a contract in place.
Which, again, what a fascinating thing to say out loud. Just amazing to me. That's
open
all.
Open mouth.
Yep.
Insert foot. Can you imagine if Jed York came out today with basically you put your fireman outfit on and you grab some gas. And you just walk over to that flame. That's what Jerry Jones did.
Yeah.
He comes out and he goes, yeah, we don't, whether we work this thing out with Ayuk or not, not that big of a deal. Not a big priority right now. That'll go over well.
That's great. What a lovely thing to hear.
If Brandon Ayuk still has his social media passwords,
uh-huh.
You're getting a tweet in the first 3 minutes.
You
after
might get
that
tripped
comment.
On that one.
Jerry, man. the gift that keeps on giving in the nation's capital.
Indeed.
Making sure the Cowboys stay mediocre 30 years in or so at this point. Our double play is next. Danny's back from vacation.
Yes.
You guys know what that means. How much weight did Danny gain on vacation? There's an important caveat
that
we can get into.
Mm-hmm.
But Danny was on vacation for a week. How much weight did he gain? We'll play the game on the Fan. 4 o'clock, the Beltway Blitz right here on Grant and Danny. 425, Jaden Daniels made a change at the line, threw a dime. Dan Quinn's reaction was priceless. We will react to his audio from postgame as he discussed the Jaden Daniels decision at the line of scrimmage in his preseason debut. Top Gun was referenced, which plays pretty well on this radio show. As we welcome you back, though, it is time for our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. Every time Danny goes on vacation, he weighs himself before he leaves, and he weighs himself when he gets back.
Yep.
And over the years, we've had some very memorable post-vacation weigh-ins.
The highlights include 4 days in New Orleans where I gained almost 17 pounds.
That was a win. That was really fun for everybody.
That's
what we call the bread pudding trip.
Yeah, that's how it's known still down there as well. That prompted a Washington Nationals player to say, "Did you really do that? That's bleeping disgusting," before slamming the door. This very vacation where I was able to stay for 2 weeks at one point, so over 2 weeks, that was 13 days and nights. I think I gained my maximum ever, which was about 18 pounds over the course of a couple of weeks. So those are your all-time highs.
Your record, you were higher than the record, 27 pounds.
It was 27?
On a 2 week vacation. Yeah. That was a 27-pound vacation.
Oh, my God.
That's a keeper,
sir. I'd suppress that in my mind a little bit.
Now, that's not your weight. Your record per day.
Yeah, the per day is New Orleans.
Is New Orleans.
Yeah, that's more than 4 pounds per day.
But 27 in 13 days ain't too bad either.
No, it's not good, but it's also...
But it's certainly a victory.
It's also pretty great, yeah.
So there is a caveat I think we need to set up.
Sure, yeah. So this is the deal. It's what's going on. I am now currently taking some medication to not gain weight. Like, that's where we are. We're trying to reverse this process that has not been going that well since I started it.
It's going fine.
I went on vacation. Before...
But if I could say this.
Okay.
I think you have remained healthy. You would just like to be skinnier. Is that a fair way to chronicle
it? Well, of course I would. Because,
you're no longer... Like, here's what I'll say. Most people, when they see you out and about, they go, "Oh, Danny, you look great." Or they're like, "Danny, you look healthy." Or, mm-hmm. You always say you're heavy. You're not heavy.
Right.
You would like to be skinnier, but you do not look bad. Like, take it from a guy who actually needs to lose weight. I would say you're at a point where you constantly play pickup basketball. You play pickleball. You're in decent shape. You're just unhappy with your decent shape.
So, and there's also other medical stuff beyond that where they're like, "Hey, these readings, you see these different numbers? They're really high."
That I can't help you with.
Yeah, well, that's kind of why I'm able to do this, right? So I'm on the meds. And so this trip, I worked really hard to not gain weight. Now, normally I do too. And you're like, "You guys will go, come on." And the segment has kind of gone in the past where I sort of sandbag and be like, "I didn't really do that much. And the point is, if I eat normal foods, I balloon up like a giant fat animal and I'm disgusting." I worked really hard. I biked every day, 6 miles per day. Okay. I closed my rings all but 2 days because it was raining a lot. I did two different kind of like hardcore HIIT workouts, including yesterday morning. I woke up at 6 a.m., took my weights to the beach, and did a full HIIT workout on the beach by myself before taking a dip into the ocean. Then I carried the weights back. I obviously stayed on the medication. I did everything I possibly could to not balloon back up.
So you worked out pretty hard.
I worked out very hard. And again, I didn't overeat. Okay. Like, that's kind of the nature of this stuff. I didn't eat near as much as I have in the past.
You mean you didn't overeat, you didn't eat badly, or you didn't eat a lot of anything?
I didn't eat a lot of anything. So I had donuts. I had two donuts.
You had your four donuts.
No, I had two donuts the entire trip.
God bless you.
Yeah.
That's the first time you've ever only had two donuts. Mm-hmm. You normally pummel a half box of donuts.
Well, when they're there and no one's eating them, someone should eat them. All Otherwise, right. It's a waste of donuts.
So you showed some restraint.
Yes. But it's also the medication that makes you show the restraint. Like, I didn't do it. It's like, I literally feel sick.
Hey, just take the credit, okay? You showed some restraint. All right. Biking 6 miles per day is a lot of biking.
Mm-hmm.
Two HIIT workouts. I'll ask a couple questions, and then we can get our guesses in here.
Yep.
Question number one, what was your most extravagant meal in terms of consumption? Like, what was the thing where you overate the most, felt the least uncomfortable?
Great question.
Least comfortable.
We went to Blue Point, my wife and brother and sister-in-law, and I had soup. I believe it was a chowder, and I had like a regular-sized fish dinner, and that was it.
Fried?
Yeah, it was a fried fish with like over like a succotash, like corn and.
Okay,
and
so type I mean, you really didn't do anything crazy like
regular
bread or anything.
Right, regular meal.
Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm. No barbecue. I mean, we just didn't do it.
We know that you don't drink alcohol,
right?
So there was none of that.
No boozes.
Anything else you guys need to know before we make our guesses? Any dessert items other than the if you want to count a donut?
I had a slice of pecan pie at that dinner. So that was indulgent.
How terrible did you feel after?
Awful. Like I was going to die.
Because isn't that part of the deal?
That's the whole
like,
deal.
If you eat like Danny, the medication says,
dude,
not today.
You're just curled up in the fetal. Yeah, other than that, like kind of your normal, like I had a small brownie, like a tiny square of a brownie one of the days, but like very, like all small little stuff. A couple snacks here and there, crunchies.
I have a two-part question
for
you.
Yes, right now.
How many times did you go out to eat for dinner and or lunch?
One lunch, I had a shrimp burger at Sam and Omi's.
Okay.
Two dinners.
Okay, so how many bread baskets then did you consume?
Zero.
Like, as a fan, no bread baskets.
No bread baskets.
Okay.
I mean, he quite literally grinded on this vacation.
Yeah, I mean, okay.
He did everything he could to take our joy. That won't be forgotten.
I think I'm ready to just go ahead and make a guess at
Let's
this point.
Do it.
Yeah, and I'm not doing like a rug pull. I did gain weight, but I tried to before I left.
Yeah.
And I'm trying now to temper everybody's expectations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Darius.
Let's go with a whopping 3.8 pounds.
Okay.
Darius in 3.8.
I'll say 4.7 pounds.
I'm going to say 2.
Grant knows this guy, by the way.
I'm going to say 2.7 pounds.
Ryan is in at 2.7. All right. Grant's the winner here.
Yeah.
Grant's the winner here. When I left, 219.6.
Okay.
219.6. When I returned this morning, I weighed myself 231.3.
No.
Yeah.
No.
That's 11.7 pounds.
That's my guy.
What?
Yep.
11.7?
Yep.
With all the, I thought, what about the HIIT workouts?
Yep.
What about the running on the beach like
nothing
you're on
Baywatch? Nothing matters at all.
What about the bike ride?
If you have if you're me and you have a single delicious food item, nothing can stop it.
11.7.
It's an unstoppable force.
12 pounds.
That's right. That's right.
You're not on the medicine anymore.
I am.
The medicine keeps you from that.
In theory.
Yeah. Are you the person that broke the medicine?
I suppose I am. I am not excited to tell the doctor. Say that right now. Yeah, 11.7 pounds. The point is...
But all the exercise.
Yeah, the point is there's no hope. There isn't any hope for anybody. Do you understand me? If you got this, if you got what I got, which is the metabolism of a beach sloth. I don't know that sloths get beached, but whatever. Just a gross behemoth.
What about the HIIT workouts?
Nothing matters. None of that stuff matters. The only thing that matters is you have to deny yourself delicious food every second of every day forever.
Are you sure you did 6 miles?
100%
per day?
Positive. I got it on my watch. I'll show you the workouts.
How many days is that? 6 days?
No, that's 9 days. 9 days.
I'm floored. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say.
Shtick aside. I'm obviously furious and so annoyed and nothing matters and I'm whatever.
What if you would have just released all inhibitions and not done any work?
Who knows what would have happened? Who knows?
Could the record have been in play?
Probably not. I mean, I would have like upchecked a couple times. But here's my advice to everybody out there. And this is slightly tongue in cheek. I want you to envision me winking when I say this. Quit. Just quit. Stop trying. Give up. If you're an in-shape person, stay in shape. Do it. Enjoy it. That's great. The rest of us, order a waffle.
11.7
pounds.
Wow. I did not see. That swerve got me.
Yeah.
I thought we were past not knowing when Danny had a swerve.
Oh, no. It's real.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I actually feel bad. Like, normally I laugh and I high-five.
Yeah, you're like, oh, my God, that's like, so much.
Now we're at kind of, like, poor guy range.
Oh, my God, that's depressing.
I mean, you did everything.
Everything.
You did everything you could. All you could do. It's like you studied your butt off.
Mm-hmm.
You were up till midnight every night, 6 straight days. You got a good sleep. You got a good breakfast. You paid for a tutor, and you bombed the exam.
And then in the final, they were like, okay, you guys go across the hall. You're taking another class this final.
You just bombed the exam.
just ate a bucket of it.
Brother.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
No good transition there. The Beltway Blitz. The Beltway's big.
You're sure
listening
is.
To the fan.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
4 o'clock, the Beltway Blitz right here on Grant and Danny. 425, Jaden Daniels made a change at the line, threw a dime. Dan Quinn's reaction was priceless. We will react to his audio from postgame as he discussed the Jaden Daniels decision at the line of scrimmage in his preseason debut. Top Gun was referenced, which plays pretty well on this radio show. As we welcome you back, though, it is time for our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. Every time Danny goes on vacation, he weighs himself before he leaves, and he weighs himself when he gets back.
Yep.
And over the years, we've had some very memorable post-vacation weigh-ins.
The highlights include 4 days in New Orleans where I gained almost 17 pounds.
That was a win. That was really fun for everybody.
That's
what we call the bread pudding trip.
Yeah, that's how it's known still down there as well. That prompted a Washington Nationals player to say, did you really do that? That's bleeping disgusting before slamming the door. This very vacation where I was able to stay for 2 weeks at one point, so over 2 weeks, that was 13 days and nights. I think I gained my maximum ever, which was about 18 pounds over the course of a couple of weeks. So those are your all-time highs.
Your record, you were higher than the record, 27 pounds.
It was 27?
On a 2-week vacation. Yeah. That was a 27-pound vacation.
Oh, my God.
That's a keeper,
sir. I'd suppress that in my mind a little bit.
Now, that's not your weight. Your record per day.
Yeah, the per day is New Orleans.
Is New Orleans.
Yeah, that's more than 4 pounds per day.
But 27 in 13 days ain't too bad either.
No, it's not good, but it's also...
But it's certainly a victory.
It's also pretty great, yeah.
So there is a caveat I think we needed to set up.
Sure, yeah. So this is the deal. It's what's going on. I am now currently taking some medication to not gain weight. Like, that's where we are. We're trying to reverse this process that has not been going that well since I started it.
It's going fine.
I went on vacation. Before...
But if I could say this.
Okay.
I think you have remained healthy. You would just like to be skinnier. Is that a fair way to chronicle it?
Well, of course
it?
I would. You know,
because, like, you're no longer... Like, here's what I'll say. Most people, when they see you out and about, they go, oh, Danny, you look great. Or they're like, Danny, you look healthy. Or, mm-hmm. You always say you're heavy. You're not heavy.
Right.
And you would like to be skinnier, but you do not look bad. Like, take it from a guy who actually needs to lose weight. I would say you're at a point where you constantly play pickup basketball. You play pickleball. You're in decent shape. You're just unhappy with your decent shape.
So, and there's also other medical stuff beyond that where they're like, hey, these readings, you see these different numbers? They're really high.
That I can't help you with.
Yeah, well, that's kind of why I'm able to do this, right? So I'm on the meds. And so this trip, I worked really hard to not gain weight. Now, normally I do too. And you're like, you guys will go, come on. And the segment has kind of gone in the past where I sort of sandbag and be like, I didn't really do that much. And the point is, if I eat normal foods, I balloon up like a giant fat animal and I'm disgusting. I worked really hard. I biked every day, 6 miles per day. Okay. I closed my rings all but 2 days because it was raining a lot. I did two different kind of like hardcore HIIT workouts, including yesterday morning. I woke up at 6 a.m., took my weights to the beach, and did a full HIIT workout on the beach
by myself before taking a dip into the ocean. Then I carried the weights back. I obviously stayed on the medication. I did everything I possibly could to not balloon back up.
So you worked out pretty hard.
I worked out very hard. And again, I didn't overeat. Okay. Like, that's kind of the nature of this stuff. I didn't eat near as much as I have in the past.
You mean you didn't overeat, you didn't eat badly, or you didn't eat a lot of anything?
I didn't eat a lot of anything. So I had donuts. I had two donuts.
You had your four donuts.
No, I had two donuts the entire trip.
God bless you. Yeah. That's the first time you've ever only had two donuts. Mm-hmm. You normally pummel a half box of donuts.
Well, when they're there and no one's eating them, someone should eat them. Otherwise, it's a waste of donuts.
So you showed some restraint.
Yes. But it's also the medication that makes you show the restraint. Like, I didn't do it. It's like, I literally feel sick.
Yeah, just take the credit, okay? You showed some restraint. All right. Biking 6 miles per day is a lot of biking.
Mm-hmm.
Two HIIT workouts. I'll ask a couple questions, and then we can get our guesses in here.
Yep.
Question number one, what was your most extravagant meal in terms of consumption? Like, what was the thing where you overate the most, felt the least uncomfortable?
Great
question.
The least comfortable. We went to Blue Point, my wife and brother and sister-in-law, and I had soup. I believe it was a chowder, and I had like a regular-sized fish dinner, and that was it.
Fried?
Yeah, it was a fried fish with like over like a succotash, like corn and.
Okay,
and
so type I mean, you really didn't do anything crazy like
regular meal.
Bread or anything.
Right, regular meal.
Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm. No barbecue. I mean, we just didn't do it.
We know that you don't drink alcohol,
right?
So there was none of that.
No boozes.
Anything else you guys need to know before we make our guesses? Any dessert items other than the if you want to call it count a donut?
I had a slice of pecan pie at that dinner. So that was indulgent.
How terrible did you feel after?
Awful. Like I was going to die.
Because isn't that part of the deal?
That's the whole deal.
If you eat like Danny, the medication says,
dude,
not today.
You're just curled up in the fetal. Other than that, like kind of your normal, like I had a small brownie, like a tiny square of a brownie one of the days, but like very, like all small little stuff. A couple snacks here and there, crunchies.
I have a two-part question
for
you.
Yes, right now.
How many times did you go out to eat for dinner and or lunch?
One lunch, I had a shrimp burger at Sam and Omi's.
Okay.
Two dinners.
Okay, so how many bread baskets then did you consume?
Zero.
Like, as a fan, no bread baskets.
No bread baskets.
Okay.
I mean, he quite literally grinded on this vacation.
Yeah, I mean, okay.
He did everything he could to take our joy. That won't be forgotten.
I think I'm ready to just go ahead and make a guess at
Let's
this point.
Do it.
Yeah, and I'm not doing like a rug pull. I did gain weight, but I tried to before I left.
Yeah.
And I'm trying now to temper everybody's expectations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Darius.
Let's go with a whopping 3.8 pounds.
Okay.
Darius in 3.8.
I'll say 4.7 pounds.
Grant. I'm going to say 2.
Grant knows this guy, by the way.
I'm going to say 2.7 pounds.
Ryan is in at 2.7. All right. Grant's the winner here.
Yeah.
Grant's the winner here. When I left, 219.6.
Okay.
219.6. When I returned this morning, I weighed myself 231.3.
No.
Yeah.
No.
That's 11.7 pounds.
That's my guy.
What?
Yep.
11.7?
Yep.
With all the, I thought, what about the HIIT workouts?
Yep.
What about the running on the beach like
nothing
you're on
Baywatch? Nothing matters at all.
What about the bike ride?
If you're me and you have a single delicious food item, nothing can stop it.
11.7.
It's an unstoppable force.
12 pounds.
That's right. That's right.
You're not on the medicine anymore.
I am.
The medicine keeps you from that.
In theory.
Yeah. Are you the person that broke the medicine?
I suppose I am. I am not excited to tell the doctor. Say that right now. Yeah, 11.7 pounds. The point is...
But all the exercise.
Yeah, the point is there's no hope. There isn't any hope for anybody. Do you understand me? If you got this, if you got what I got, which is the metabolism of a beach sloth. I don't know that sloths get beached, but whatever. Just a gross behemoth.
What about the HIIT workouts?
Nothing matters. None of that stuff matters. The only thing that matters is you have to deny yourself delicious food every second of every day forever.
Are you sure you did 6 miles?
100%
per day?
Positive. I got it on my watch. I'll show you the workouts.
How many days is that? 6 days?
No, that's 9 days. 9 days.
I'm floored. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say.
My shtick aside, I'm obviously furious and so annoyed and nothing matters and I'm whatever.
What if you would have just released all inhibitions and not done any work?
Who knows what would have happened? Who knows?
Could the record have been in play?
Probably not. I mean, I would have like upchecked a couple times. But here's my advice to everybody out there. And this is slightly tongue-in-cheek. I want you to envision me winking when I say this. Quit. Just quit. Stop trying. Give up. If you're an in-shape person, stay in shape. Do it. Enjoy it. That's great. The rest of us, order a waffle.
11.7
pounds.
Wow. I did not see. That swerve got me.
Yeah.
I thought we were past not knowing when Danny had a swerve.
Oh, no. It's real.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I actually feel bad. Like, normally I laugh and I high five.
Yeah, you're like, oh my God, that's like, so much.
Now we're at kind of like poor guy range.
Oh my God, that's depressing.
I mean, you did everything.
Everything.
You did everything you could, all you could do. It's like you studied your butt off.
Mm-hmm.
You were up till midnight every night, six straight days. You got a good sleep. You got a good breakfast. You paid for a tutor and you bombed the exam.
And then in the final, they were like, okay, you guys go across the hall. You're taking another class as final.
You just bombed the exam.
just ate a bucket of it.
Brother.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
No good transition there. The Beltway Blitz. The Beltway's big.
You're sure
listening to the Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.